I'll call this meeting of the Board of Supervisors back to order. Do we have to make a motion to begin, so Fred? And just pick up where we left off?
Yes.
All righty. We will begin with Mr. Dahl with the County Administrator's report.
Yep.
Did we adopt the agenda?
Oh, yeah. So we didn't adopt the agenda, so you want to...
That's right, my fault.
Yep.
All right, do we have a motion to adopt the agenda as presented? Mr. Paul's putting his finger up.
I just have a few updates, just to see if the board would entertain. One, item H, tab H, which is Families First Coronavirus Response Act Emergency Sick Leave. We would like to defer that with some of the... There's been some changes that are coming out from Congress on what's happening with that. So in order to do anything on that, we want to see what comes out of that first. It's constantly changing. So with deferring that, would the board be so inclined to then take the CAFR presentation, which we have David Foley with Robertson, Farmer, and Cox, that he's going to be on the meeting, move that before action items? So we just have one presentation?
Ms. Eager, Ms. Booker? How do y'all, were y'all okay with moving that to the front?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine.
Can I get a motion to adopt the agenda as amended?
Make that motion.
Do I have a second?
Yes.
Motion's made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Ms. Booker. Yes, ma'am. Seconded by Ms. Booker. Ms. Booker?
Yes.
Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Ms. Weaver?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 4-0. So we will move G to the front when we get to it.
Yep, correct.
All righty. Now, Mr. Dahl, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let's see here. It's thinking about it. So, yeah, just a few things to report. A huge, huge thank you to public safety personnel during yesterday's ice storm and downed trees cleanup. And Mr. Sheridan probably talked about this. I know a huge thank you goes out to the fire and rescue volunteers that were very active, the sheriff's office, E911, VDOT, Lake Monticello PD, and their maintenance staff. Communicating with Major Wells, apparently they had about 150 computer-aided dispatch entries regarding kind of the storm yesterday, and they had 80 911 calls because of all the downed trees and everything. And just kind of a little snippet right here, you can't really see that there, but all those calls, or a lot of them, are downed trees. So our folks in public safety were really active yesterday. And also a big thanks to CVEC and Dominion also. At the peak of the storm, with all the ice and the trees falling down, we had 4,600 outages in CVEC and 3,300 outages in Dominion, which is about a quarter of our homes in the county. And they did a pretty good job of getting most of those homes restored. Not maybe as quick as others, but I think overall they did. And then also a big thanks to the Public Works Grounds crew for getting all the county complexes and facilities diced and everything, both yesterday and this morning. But like I said, you know, a lot of hard work and people spending lots of hours to get trees cleared and getting people through and getting them home yesterday.
Not sure how the rest of the county looks, but if you get a chance to drive between Ferncliff and Science Crossroads on 64, it looks pretty much like a war zone.
Okay.
I don't know how many trees we ended up moving out of that. I think I ran over two of them with a fire truck.
Is that on 64, you said?
It was. If you drive through there, because they were having vehicles running into, we've got several wreck calls that we worked that people were just driving into the trees and they were falling as people, you know.
Yeah, that ice brings them down.
Yes, sir, and it usually hits a stage where they all get to that perfect weight and start walking.
It was bad yesterday. Yeah, it was. Like I said, it was good that we postponed or reconvened or continued the meeting until today. Yeah. So lots of things were the weather was changing quickly, or the trees were changing quickly, we should say that.
Yes.
Also to report, just Governor Northam's Executive Order 72, which took place December 14th, and it's in effect through January 31st. It basically has a curfew, a stay-at-home order between 12 a.m. and 5 a.m. It has an expansion for mask mandate for anyone over the age of 5 to wear face coverings indoor and outdoor public spaces. Reduction in public and private gatherings limited to 10, down from 25, and then it has some curfews for on-site alcohol. And like I said, Virginia is averaging 1,500 new COVID cases per day, which is up from a peak of 1,200 per day in May. So, you know, things are changing, and, you know, just need to make sure that we're being, you know, mitigating the risk and just, you know, doing the best that we can to follow the orders, and well, not doing the best we can, following the orders, and just be mindful of you know, our surroundings. And just kind of looking at the cases previously, we were back in November 30th for a seven-day rolling sum. We were at 17 cases. As of December 17th, we went up to 55 cases for a weekly period. And then as of December 14th, we were 80 cases for a rolling period. Now, the one thing I can say within here, the Department of Corrections numbers are in here, so they did have the women's prison had a spike. So I don't know what number of that is, but again, you know, the cases have been going up. On a positive note, so this Friday and Saturday, December 18th and 19th, tomorrow and Saturday, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., Pleasant Grove Park's Community of Light celebration will be held at Pleasant Grove. Visitors are going to be able to drive through the loop around the park and view holiday-themed displays as they go through, and again, practicing safety protocols recommended for COVID, you know, face masks, social distancing will be adhered to when appropriate. And, you know, like I said, this is the first time that Parks and Rec has done this, and we're just trying to do something different just to kind of show the community spirit and you know, the Christmas spirit as we're going through some different times. And the spotlight on business for this month is Detail Me Now. They're located at 12 Crofton Plaza. Their website is detailmenowva.com. And they were named the Chamber of Commerce Emerging Business of the Year. And they have e-gift cards available for a quick gift option. And if you go to their website, go see what they do on Facebook, you can see some pretty amazing before and after cleanups on the cars.
I'd like to say something about that.
Yeah.
I had my car detailed at Detail Me Now, and it was great.
Yep.
Absolutely wonderful job.
There we go. Plugged by the Board of Supervisors.
No.
I had my car done too, and they did an excellent job.
There we go. And then, like I said, just our typical ways to communicate and find information from the county. The one thing I wanted to bring to the board's attention. If you see on here yellow, so if you remember last night when we were supposed to have nonprofit work sessions from 4 to 6 p.m., well, we had to cancel those just due to the meeting. So we have to reschedule them, and we're really in a tight crunch to reschedule them any other point. You know, once February starts, we're all in budget work sessions, so we don't really have any time in February going forward. So what I'm proposing, and I hope the board goes for this, is January 6th at 4 p.m., you have your organizational meeting and your regular meeting. I'm proposing at 7 p.m. to reschedule those nonprofit work sessions.
Okay. Eric?
Yes, Ms.
Eric?
Parker. Yes.
The Chamber of Commerce also honored E.W. Thomas.
Yeah, it was in the newspaper.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we
Favorite business of the year. Detail Me Now was emerging business.
Like I said, we were just doing one spotlight, like kind of a new spotlight on the business for the month. Yeah, but E.W. Thomas was the business of the year by the Chamber of Commerce, and Detail Me Now was the emerging business of the year.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just. Want to make sure
yep.
we had both.
Yep.
It was a good article in the paper, Moselle.
So is the board fine with...
Pardon?
Mr. Weaver said there was a really good article in the newspaper. In the review?
No, we haven't.
In the
That's good.
Uh-huh.
So is the board agreeable to work session for nonprofits at 7 p.m. January 6th?
Ms. Booker, Ms. Eager, y'all okay with that?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, sounds good.
Yes.
So then again, January 6th, organizational meeting 4 at 7 p.m. And then January 20th, we have the other budget nonprofit presentations at 4 p.m., then regular meeting at 7 p.m. That's all I have for the board tonight, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any questions? Thanks, sir. We do appreciate it. I will now open the first round of public comments. Anyone wish to address the board, please state your name, address. Keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and directed to the board. Is there anyone wishing to speak at this time?
There is one. I've asked her to unmute.
If you are waiting to speak in public comment, please unmute.
Well, I have to do it for them, but
okay.
I'll ask her again. It's Ms. Millie Fife.
Ms. Fife?
Or maybe she doesn't want to. No, she's not popping off.
I know we had the one that asked if we would read some, but that was her, wasn't it?
Yeah, she's not coming off of me.
That was, and you know, depending on what the board wants to do, you know, we could either do that. I mean, it's a lengthy email. We could certainly do that, or if the board so chooses, you can make it a part of public comments. What would you say before, Kelly?
So other localities during this virtual time have been receiving public comment as well through email, and they will note during public comment time that they've received some and that they'll be entered into public record through attachment to the minutes.
So we can attach the actual comments.
If you are listening, we're going to attach your comments to the minutes, so anyone that wishes to look will see them.
And the only other thing I'm not sure if the board, because I think these comments are regarding
qualified
immunity. I know the board received two other emails from a Mr. Hudson and a Mr. Creasy regarding the same. I'm not sure if you want to, since it's regarding the same, if you want to include those as well.
We should, yeah.
That's fine.
We can. This is the only one that asked for them to be mentioned in public comments, I think. If I remember correctly.
I
didn't see the other two.
I think it's fair to assume that if we're getting a notification regarding an action that we're potentially going to take at the board level, that, you know, that's our public comment.
I mean, it's right. We haven't done that.
I can't
in the past.
Hear.
We haven't done that in the past, because we've had other ones where we've had the public comment or the my two cents sent in.
Yeah, and like I said, that's, you know, we're definitely operating in some different times, and then we're kind of, you know.
I mean, we can put those two in there since they're with the same thing. Mr. Weaver, you okay with that? All right, we're just talking about adding the other two, Ms. Booker, Ms. Eager.
May I just comment, please?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I think those three comments was false. Those comments were for the qualified immunity, and which that's not on the agenda. If we were to discuss that and people send in a letter, those letters should be read, because people are listening. Some people don't go to fan mail, whatever it is. I know the school board reads all of theirs. If people don't want them read, they can say in their letter that they don't care for them to be read.
Okay.
But since this is not on the agenda, then I don't know whether you need to publish them or not.
Well, one was asked to be published for public comment, so absolutely, the Ms. Fife's, we need to publish. So we will publish. We will add those three to the minutes. All right. Is there any other comments or questions? Anyone else wishing to speak? Ms. Harris, no?
No.
Okay, we will now close first round of public comments. we adopted the agenda, and we're going to move presentations up front right now.
Oh, no, before action matters.
Oh, you just want to do it before action
matters? Just before action. Well, so since we're doing public hearings, it'd be good to have the public hearings go first.
Okay. All right, well, we'll continue with the public hearings. A, joint mutual aid agreement between Fluvanna County, Fork Union Sanitary District, and the Louisa County Water Authority for mutual aid related to the water and wastewater systems and required ordinance. Mr. Dahl?
Yeah, again, we talked about this before, and just a kind of a quick overview, all this is for is in case Louisa County Water Authority and any of the Fluvanna County water systems, namely FUSD, if there is ever a need for any some type of joint participation with one another, if, you know, say Louisa County Water Authority, they have a COVID pandemic and a lot of their staffing goes down and they need some help from Fluvanna County, we can enter into an agreement to, you know, provide some staffing and vice versa. If, say, we ran into a dilemma with staffing, you know, it's just kind of providing some assistance with one another in an absolute worst case emergency scenario. Because of this, we have to do this via an ordinance amendment. And then there, because we're dealing with two different localities, we have to do a mutual aid agreement between the Fork Union Sanitary District, which is part of Fluvanna County, and then Fluvanna County and the Louisa County Water Authority.
Actually, we had discussed this earlier, too.
We did. When I brought forward the original, the advertisement, the motion to have the board allow advertising for this change, we had discussed it before, and now the board approved the authorization to advertise for a public hearing, and now it's just the actual public hearing itself to be had, and then for the board to then approve the mutual aid agreement. So again, just, you know, enabling legislation requires localities to approve such agreements. Louisa County Water Authority and Louisa County, just to deal with Water Authority, has to kind of do the same thing. So again, nothing too crazy. There's no dollars associated with this. This is just an emergency, worst case scenario basis that we need to provide some joint assistance.
Instead of having to go out and hire a third party, we can work.
Correct.
Yep. Amongst each other.
Yep.
All right, are there any questions from the board? Okay. Hearing none, we'll now open the public hearing. Please keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and direct it to the board. Is there anyone wishing to speak? I don't think there's anybody online to speak at this time. Seeing none, I will now close the public hearing. Are there any other comments from the board? Do I have a motion?
I move the board of supervisors.
I move the supervisors approve an ordinance approving the mutual aid agreement and exhibits thereto between Fluvanna County, Fork Union Sanitary District, and the Louisa County Water Authority for mutual aid related to the water and wastewater systems.
All right, do we have a second?
Second.
Got a motion made by Mrs. Eaton.
Second.
Yes, ma'am. Second by Mrs. Booker. Mrs. Booker? You got to do it.
Yes.
Mrs. Eager?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. We will now move forward with B, Dominion Right-of-Way Agreement. Mr. Dahl?
And kind of like the previous motion, we brought this before the board approved advertising. Let me just open up the brief here. But the long and short of it is Virginia Department of Forestry, they're leasing a piece of land from the county. They're building a maintenance shed there for their bulldozers and equipment. While they're doing this, we had to bring in a new electric easement to the building. It was determined by both Virginia Department of Forestry and Fluvanna County that it would be beneficial, instead of having overhead lines going through there when they're trying to pull out equipment, to do an in the ground electric wiring instead. Because we're changing where that is, we have to do a new right-of-way agreement. And again, like I said, the county entered into this lease with Virginia Department of Forestry in 2018. The right-of-way allows Dominion electric transmission lines and county property because we are effectively leasing for no dollars, basically. It's a benefit to the county because we are doing a lease in an easement in county property. We have to have a public hearing for that. Virginia Department of Forestry, Dominion, and the county attorney have approved the right-of-way agreement. And again, there's no cost to the county to do this.
And we got rid of a building and followed that.
We got rid of a building. Virginia Department of Forestry has built a new building there, and it's up, and I haven't been by there in a little bit, but it is definitely up there.
Alrighty, are there any questions from the board? Okay, hearing none, I will now open up the public hearing. Anyone wish to speak, please keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and direct it to the board. Does anyone wish to speak at this time? And I see Ms. Harris shaking her head no. I'll give them a few seconds if somebody chimes in. Hearing none, I will now close the public hearing. Do I have a motion?
I move the Board of Supervisors approve a proposed right-of-way agreement for conveyance by the Savannah County to Virginia Electric and Power Company, Virginia Public Service Corporation, doing business in Virginia's Dominion Energy, Virginia, of a non-exclusive 15-foot in width easement over Savannah County tax map parcel 42-1-4A in the location shown on the plat number 63-20-0068, which plat is attached to the right-of-way agreement for the purposes of transmitting and distributing electric power and for such other uses as more specifically set out in the right-of-way agreement.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion's made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Weaver. Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0.
Okay.
Now we'll move forward with presentation G, FY20 Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. Ms. Twisdale.
Good evening.
And just let me know when you can either click or...
Is it right or left? I'll try.
Let me open it up and then we'll let you do what you need to do. Let me do one thing. Let me get this out of the way. There you go. Okay, there you go.
Our adopted budget for FY20 was $82,838,129, and you can see how this breaks out pretty much like it does every year. 51% of schools, 41% county, and then we have CIP and other, which will be our TIPS funds. The revenue, again, has to match the expenditures, and local is 55%, state 36, federal 3, and other 6%. These are pretty common every year, pretty similar numbers. And this is how the local breaks out. Obviously, personal property and real estate taxes are our big sources of revenue. This year for FY20, our actual revenues, property tax was 69% of our total. State, 82 million, 15%. And you can see how these break out. They're pretty standard. And here's the breakdown of that figure. Our amended budget was $52,821,000, and our actual revenue was $55,065,979. So we came in above projections on revenue this year. Now, keep in mind, some of that is CARES funding. Our top four local revenues remain the same every year. You'll notice that our sales tax went up. Our sales tax went up for two reasons. One, because now we have taxable online purchases, which has been very helpful. And second, because a lot of people were having to start quarantine. Keep in mind, this is just June. So basically, you've got April, May, and June that COVID was actually affecting our sales. Again, this is just a depiction of our sales tax. I will tell you, sales taxes level off so far this year. We're only up about $25,000. It's hard to say. It's hard to say what's going to happen when the virus, it seems to be ramping back up. Are people going to be staying home again? We just don't know.
It's down 25?
Up.
I don't know if we can go up any higher than what we have now.
I don't expect it to go up.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see that was a pretty big jump between 19 and 20
right
there.
And what budget did we project?
We projected...
I remember we cut it back quite a bit.
You want me to go backward?
Yeah. We projected about level from 19, which was 1.8.
Yeah.
And we actually brought in 2.2. These are our expenses. 34% of our local, our general fund expenditures goes to education, 18% to public safety, and 19% to debt service. They're always our three big ones. And here's the breakdown on expenditures. We actually had a budget of $51,513,000 and our actuals were $48,384,000. So we're able to come in under budget this year under the, well, we spent less than we had originally anticipated, which is a good thing.
But it's non-departmental.
Excuse me?
Non-departmental.
Non-departmental is...
That's a salary wage, the healthcare wage.
Okay. It's a good one. Thank you.
Yeah. And you can see on here, this shows the schools basically under budget almost $1.4 million, which is a big piece of that. And then the other piece of it is, as Ms. Twisdale spoke about,
CARES
piece.
But didn't we pick up a couple million on CARES?
Yes, sir. On the, did you go back to me?
Yep.
Door.
Yep.
Well,
that'll
be
all
I'll do it.
Okay. There you go.
2.7.
Where's the revenue? Well, here we go. Okay. Yes, we did. The revenue came in $55,065,979, and that took for accounts is the CARES money that we received that we matched with expenditures. So that did exceed what we anticipated because of the CARES.
Yeah,
quite a bit, right?
Yeah, if you remember, there was $1.2 million of public safety salaries that were an offset. So you had $1.2 million of public safety salaries, you had, you know, the $1.4 million of the schools being under budget, and then just the county doing well. You know, the county basically coming under budget and over revenue.
$100,000 with the sales tax.
Yes.
I mean, it's a bunch of different pockets.
Right, but it looks like then we're going to have really quite a bit left over, as it looks like, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. So if we go to the next slide, our total fund balance at the end of the FY20 is $25,404,855. If you take out the 12% that we have to have as target, we actually have the excess above target for unassigned fund balance that we actually get to use, $10,416,794.
And if you look at the previous slide, you can see the change in fund balance, the $3.7 million, that's what our fund balance is going up this year. From
keep in mind, the majority of that was the salaries we covered with CARES and almost 1.4 the schools gave us.
Yep.
So this is a good thing. We're very
happy. I would say so.
We're very happy about this.
That's right, we can reduce taxes now,
so,
can't we?
Before we lose our head, keep in mind, 3 months of this was the coronavirus.
Sure.
This year, it's going to be a whole year. It appears.
Mm-hmm.
So we were very fortunate that we were able to cover some things and cut some things and keep everything under control. The revenues for this year, we're going to have a better idea of, hopefully at the next meeting, because since taxes now are not late until December 30th, we can't really assume how many taxes we're going to collect until after December 30th. So hopefully the next board meeting we'll be able to have an idea of where we are in the first 6 months of revenue.
Hopefully
they'll remain strong.
We have all that money left over. Maybe we can bill an administrative bill. What do
you
think?
That would be up to the board.
We just need
still personally.
We just need the board to say, you know, move forward with it and we can start.
This is just a depiction of the fund balance. Green being bigger is always good. This is our fund balance for the last 10 years. We have the unassigned fund balance and we have our total fund balance. So it's on an upward trend since 2018. We hope that continues.
And the main reason it was on that downward trend from 16 to 18 is because the board approved paying down some debt service at that time. So that's why the the fund balance went down during that time, because we paid down, it was around $2 million, right around there, give or take, in some debt service, early debt service.
So what do we owe right now? What's our debt?
Right here.
2019 was $97,724,450. 2020 is
$91,373,850. Yeah, so just remember, Mr. Weaver, about every year we reduce our principal balance by about $6 million, roughly.
And what, two more years, we're going to have two more that we're going to eliminate?
Yeah,
The total debt, the debt service is probably a little bit more clear. In 2025, we have a couple of larger things drop off. It levels and then starts downward, and then 2025, 2026, it drops dramatically. I believe it's the radio project.
The radio project is 23, 24.
Right,
yes.
That's
the radio project. Yeah, that's 1.2 million.
Also have some other random things.
Yeah, 22 to 23, we've got about a couple hundred thousand dropping off.
Yeah, it's like a couple hundred thousand, and then we have a big drop.
And in addition, the one thing, remember too, the board not too long ago approved for VPSA to do some refunding of some bonds. That this doesn't reflect that yet, because that happened after June 30th, correct?
Right, plus the way that works, you still owe the whole thing. And then they give you a rebate. So at this point, we're showing what the debt is, but then there will be a rebate each year going forward with the refunding. And that starts in 2020. This has been an interesting year for everybody, especially us in finance. And I just want to take a minute to thank everybody in the finance department for all their hard work. You see, Ms. MacGyver and myself, so you know what we do.
Yeah, you've been a rough year.
We have three other people in our department who work really hard too. Ms. Toller, Ms. Melton, and Ms. Becker are doing a person who's doing a really good job. So I just want to take a minute to thank them. And also, David Foley, Robertson Farmer Comics, they've been really good because we've had to call them quite a bit about what we can and can't do fair. And they've been all over it. They've done research. They're reaching out to all the different agencies, and they've really helped us and made sure that we didn't do anything that we shouldn't do.
I will say this last year, the finance team, they've really had, there's been a lot of moving targets with some of the guidance from the U.S. Treasury, and then, new programs are coming out all the time, and they're having to act on the fly and make quick changes and get stuff forward to the board. So, like I said, big kudos to the finance team.
And Mr. Foley's here to present our audit findings, and if you have any other questions, once he's done,
very good.
Talk about that. Thanks.
All right, Mr. Foley.
All right. Thank you. Good evening, members of the board. Thank you for having me here this evening. Again, my name is David Foley. I'm a partner with Robinson Farmer Cox Associates, and I was also the audit manager for the county's FY 2020 audit. And we have completed that audit, and so I'm here to present the results to you all. So before I get into the actual opinions, it's really just a broad overview of the audit. There's really three main pieces to the audit that we do for the county. One, of course, is we audit the financial statements to make sure that the financial statements are prepared in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. And then the other two pieces of the audit that we do in accordance with government auditing standards. And one of those is, in addition to just looking at the financial statements themselves, we review the county's internal controls over financial reporting and areas. We'll test those controls to make sure that they're operating as they were designed to. And then the third piece to the audit that we do is the federal compliance piece. So with the federal grant programs that the county and school board receive, there's various different federal compliance requirements that the county has to comply with when it's carrying out and expanding its major federal programs. So one of the pieces of the audit that we do for the major federal programs for the county, the OMB has a compliance supplement that lists those various different compliance requirements that the county has to comply with. And so as part of the audit, we go through there to make sure that the county has complied with those federal grant compliance. So those are the three main pieces of the audit that we do. So as such, included in the county's CAFR, there's three different opinions from us that report the results of the audit. And I'm not sure, Eric, do I have the ability to share my screen or?
No, but I can, let's see here, I can.
Okay.
I guess, Kelly, maybe you have to make him a co-host?
I can.
Or I can just point out the pages in the CAFR as well.
I think you can now. You should be a co-host.
Try now, David.
Try to share now.
There you go.
Is everybody able to see it?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And so, like I said, included in the county's comprehensive annual financial report, there's three different reports from us. And the first one from us is on PDF page 23. And this is our independent auditor's report. And in this report is where we state we did perform an audit on the county's financial statements. This report talks about management's responsibility for the financial statements, which management is responsible for the creation and fair presentation of the financial statements. This report talks about our responsibilities as auditors, which we are to issue an opinion on the county's financial statements. Also that we performed our audit in accordance with generally accepted auditing standards. And then paid at the top of the second page of this report is our opinion that we have issued on the county's financial statements, which we have issued an unmodified opinion on the county's financial statements, which is the cleanest opinion an auditor can give on the set of financial statements. Basically, an unmodified opinion means that the county's financial statements have been prepared in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. The second two reports from us are in the back of the report in the compliance section. So on PDF page 201, this is the second report from us. This is our report over the county's internal control over financial reporting. This report is clean as well. We noted no significant deficiencies or material weaknesses in the county's internal control over financial reporting. We feel like the county does have strong internal controls over its financial reporting. And the third and final report from us is two pages over, starting on page 203. This is our report over the county's compliance with its major federal programs. This report was clean as well. No significant deficiencies, material weaknesses were noted in the county's compliance with its major federal program. In our opinion, the county complied in all aspects with the federal grant program requirements. Also, in addition, there are also no items of non-compliance noted in that we noted as part of our audit. So again, all three reports from us were clean. All three reports included in the county's CAFR are clean. And another clean audit for the county this year. In addition, I just would like to thank Mary Ann and really all the county staff. They do an excellent job of preparing for an audit. Is they can tell you there's an incredible amount of work that's required to get ready for an audit, particularly the way auditing standards are. You basically have to have your records in shape and already adjusted before the auditor even comes in. So They do an excellent job of having the records together, as well as pulling. We send requests ahead of time, and they do an excellent job of having the information that we've requested available to us once we come on site. They also do an excellent job while we're on site at answering any questions that we have, as well as pulling any additional information that we require as part of the audit. And, you know, we certainly understand and realize when we come on site to do the audit, the staff, they have their normal job to do in addition to you know, handling our requests and taking good care of us. So, and particularly this year, we know this year with COVID, it was particularly tough for you know, everyone dealing with the CARES Act. And again, the staff was also very good. You know, as Eric said, you know, the guidance that came out for the CARES Act was not always so clear, and it was also changing constantly. So, you know, we always encourage as the county's auditors that whenever you have questions to reach out to us, you know, because, you know, we prefer that, you know, we do things right from the get-go, as opposed to having to correct them. And the county, with the way the guidance was, they did an excellent job of reaching out to us to make sure that they were expending these funds as appropriate. But again, I just like to thank them for all their hard work in allowing us to get the audit done. Again, the audit was done, completed, and submitted to the state on time, even in a tough year like this. So just would like to commend the county staff on that. But that's all I have, but I'll be happy to answer any questions anyone may have.
Are there any questions?
I have a request. Can we get a copy through email of the presentation that was made prior to
You talking about
Mr.
Yeah, Ms. Twisdale's presentation?
Yes. Yeah. Can you email that to us?
Yeah, we can. And just one thing to note, again, things are a little different this year. The audit deadline, the state changed the audit deadline. It was previously November 30th. They moved it back to December 15th, so they just submitted literally a couple days ago. So normally we would have hard copies of stuff here. That'll be coming here, and I'm assuming in the...
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah,
hard copy.
Yeah, like I said, we'll get you a hard copy for sure that you can look at. We can email a PDF copy too, and we'll also be putting it on the website as well.
And Marianna, of the $6.3 million or whatever it was, how much of it was actually the CARES money that was the reimbursement of the salaries?
It was, well, for okay. The entire thing, we still have salaries that we're reimbursing, but just for FY20, it was about $1 million.
So it was five million besides
then
that.
And then the schools had 1.4 that came back to us. Then we cut expenditure, and then sales tax went up. So yeah, it all adds up when we start putting it together.
All right. Thank you very much. All right, folks. So now we'll move forward with action matters.
And great job, buddy.
Thanks, David.
Thank you, David.
Thank you all.
Okay, thank
so,
you.
So we need to. Do you need to kill? Co-host, not kill.
Hang on. Let's be careful how we say that.
Withdrawing his permission.
Don't say it about the auditors.
David.
His permission has been withdrawn.
Okay. That's what I meant to say.
All right. There we go. All right, so now action matters. C, agreement with VDOT regarding Watch for Children signs. Mr. Dahl.
Yes, hold on a second here. I'm sorry. Okay, yes. Put the presentation, which one, Doc 3? That's right, no presentation. So if you remember, back in 2017, the board approved moving forward with allowing children at play signs. VDOT used to install the children at play signs, but I think back in 2011 or 2012, amendment was made to the code, and that put that responsibility on the county. When Mr. Nichols was county administrator, he brought forward a request from Sycamore Landing, which is off of
North Boston Road,
and that subdivision had a request to put Watch for Children sign there. At the time, I think the discussion was it was going to be around $300 or $400 of an expense, and the county has to pay to put the sign up. The county has to pay to maintain it. And at the time, the board approved for the county to enter into an agreement with VDOT to do that.
Your screen's not shared.
That's not shared? Okay. Let's see here.
There we go.
There we go. Thank you. Sorry, board. Let's try this again. Okay. The screen is now shared. Okay. So again, the county entered into an agreement with VDOT to do that. So there was one street in there. The county recently had a request from Panorama subdivision to add a sign as well to the entrance of theirs. So again, we're bringing this back to the board. Again, there's a little bit of history there because the board previously approved it, and now we have another subdivision that has requested to have a Watch for Children sign installed at the beginning of their entrance.
Did someone go out and look at that spot where you put the new sign up?
I drive through there quite often in the driver's ed car.
Yeah, so
it's the best view in the county.
Yeah, so right here, this is the Panorama subdivision right here, and let me move this.
And since this picture was taken, the only two lots on the bottom of the picture that are not, well, the one on the left, I think the one on the right is actually getting, somebody started building there.
Yeah.
If not, I've counted the other day, I think it's 17 or 18 homes in there.
Yeah. So anyway, they're requesting a Watch for Children sign somewhere in the beginning here. And like I said, where you see where Ms. Harris put the arrow, it's right around there somewhere in the beginning. There's some requirements that it can't be within so many feet, 250 feet
of a regulatory sign.
Yep, of a regulatory sign. So again, this is just moving forward with the request from a subdivision. Again, it's the cost of it. You know, previously it was right around... The estimate was $300 to $400.
Yeah, I think so. I believe Mr. Hickman said it would be similarly priced this time.
I can't imagine it's gone up too much.
It may have gone up a little, but I can't imagine that.
The road in front of it is 35 miles an hour. I hope I'm not the cause for this because I do love going to see that view. So we do drive down through, and I always wanted to see how many houses were being built.
So again, the only thing we did for this
morning.
Ms. Booker?
Are the children getting off the buses, or are they playing? Where are the children going?
I don't know if the bus goes down in there. Mr. Striblin is on here. We could probably ask. He may know, but I doubt that.
They were taken into the system.
Well, that road is in the state system.
Okay.
Yeah, so the road is in the state system.
So they can
system.
Go down there and go to the cul-de-sac.
Correct.
And pick them up.
Correct. Yeah,
What road is it going down? Good evening, everyone.
In the Panorama subdivision, Mr. Striblin.
Good evening.
Up off of Miles Jackson Road.
Panorama Lane.
Yeah, Panorama Lane and then Panorama Court.
Did you hear that, Mr. Striblin?
I did. I'm looking at it now.
So we're talking about one sign there.
Just one sign at the beginning of the intersection.
That is correct because it's going in a VDOT right of way. The county has to enter an agreement with VDOT, and again, there's one original agreement, and now this would be an addendum to the original agreement. So every time someone wants to add a sign or request a sign, they'd come back to the county, and then we would come forward with another. This would be addendum number one, and then every subsequent one, you know, addendum two, three, four, so on and so forth, depending on what signs are added.
What criteria do you need, though, to get that sign?
One, the main thing is permission and request from the Board of Supervisors is the main one, but really there is no prerequisite, namely,
something that you evaluate.
An evaluation from a location standpoint. It is the main one from where the sign's going to go. It just has to be a certain amount of distance from other VDOT signage and stuff like that. But that's, you know, there's not a whole lot of prerequisites, so to speak, that you need, Mr. Weaver.
I was just wondering about the criteria. I mean, I think they're good and necessary.
Are there other places in the county that we need the sign?
I don't know that. I mean, again, what we've been doing is as a subdivision or individual requested, how this occurred, they submitted a request to VDOT, and VDOT, you know, responded back that, look, you know, this, you know, legislation's changed, you must go through your locality, and VDOT forwarded it on to the county to take action on, since this is something that the board has to initiate and approve.
Okay, Mr. Sheridan, you drive a lot through the county. Do you see any other places that we need to have a sign at this point?
You could put signs anywhere, but
yeah.
Are these initiated by the
request? I think these are initiated by the subdivision.
Right.
Homeowner.
The homeowner.
So if there are a lot of children in a particular subdivision, the homeowner association might ask us to put one up, but it's up to them.
Yes, and let me just open up here. This is the memorandum from VDOT, and there's certain things about speed limit, and Ms. Parrish, you remember what the speed limit was?
I don't remember.
35 miles.
I believe it was 35. Let me see here.
I think it is.
That's the one that didn't stick in my brain.
Yeah. I don't have that right off the top of my head, but if I remember correctly, I remember reading it was 35 miles per hour.
If the board's okay with this, I'll make the motion.
One thing I will say is if you put a children at play sign right there, there you have just flattened out the ground right across the road, and that might be able, if you put it sideways, to cover both areas, because it looks to me like it's going to be about another 20 houses across the street.
Yeah, to kind of answer some of the questions that were asked, here's some of the prerequisites. Within a subdivision, a single sign may be placed on streets that are major entry points where the statutory or posted speed limit is 35 miles per hour or less. Beyond but not within 200 feet of posted speed limit signs. Generally that's kind of some of the big ones, that they say some things where these signs should not be posted. But again, there are very minimal prerequisites for what it needs. And like I said, the main one is approved by the board. So the board already approved one, and so this would be the second one.
All right, are there any other comments or questions?
And I just have a revised motion. It originally said, instead of addendum number one to original, it originally said agreement for the installation, but it's addendum number one to the original agreement.
Right, because we've had changes.
Correct.
Okay, would somebody like to make a motion?
I move the Board of Supervisors approve the agreement titled addendum number one to original agreement for the installation and maintenance of Watch for Children's signs in the county between the County of Savannah and the Virginia Department of Transportation and authorize the county administrator to execute the agreement subject to the approval asked for by the county attorney.
Got a motion made by Ms. Seeger. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Seeger, seconded by Mr. O'Brien. Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Ms. Seeger?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. And, you know, they can reach out to us. The only other place that I'd even think about that, looking at the regulations, and I think Branch Road is 40 miles an hour, isn't it, Mr. Weaver? Which would make it too fast to put one, but somewhere on that, on your mm-hmm. end of Branch Road, there's a lot of kids around there. Right. That would be, off the top of my head, that would be the first place I'd think of. All righty, action matter D.
Mr. Sheridan,
yes,
you have an assignment as you're doing your drive around. If you see anywhere, bring it back to our attention.
Yes, ma'am. I absolutely will not forget. FY21 CARES Act budget transfer, Ms. McGovern.
Good evening. I'm here for the final allocation of CARES funds, since we have to have these spent by December 30th. I'm three items we would like to allocate some of the remaining funds that we have left. First one is $330,000 for E911. During the audit and discussions with the auditors, we learned that in addition to public safety and some of the social services positions, we could also charge E911 salaries to CARES funds. So we would like to allocate $330,000 to cover those. An additional $10,000 to cover emergency sick leave and FMLA costs to the end of the year. And then an additional $2,000 in AEP supplies. And this is to cover an increased bandwidth to cover teleworking. We have more people working from home, so Andy needed to increase the bandwidth to handle all the extra traffic.
Alrighty. Do we have any questions? Okay.
So this is why we have excess money in our budget this year, isn't it? Because we've used some of the CARES Act to cover salaries that we would normally have to take out of our own budget.
Yes, ma'am, it is. It accounts for a lot of our savings.
I thought that was the million you said was.
That was for 20.
For 20.
March through June.
Right. So anything July through December will be savings for this fiscal year's budget.
Correct.
That we won't know until next December.
Correct. And remember, there was already a substantial amount of sheriff's deputy savings, and as Ms. McGivern said, it was also determined that dispatch.
Right.
Could also be included.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that will add to our savings for this year.
Okay. Well, good. All right. Are there any other questions? Hearing none, I'll ask for a motion.
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve a transfer of $342,000 from year 21 CARES Act contingency line to CARES Act line below. Full-time salaries, $330,000. Emergency sick leave, $10,000. ADP supplies, $2,000.
All right, do I have a second? Got a motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mr. O'Brien. Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Ms. Seeger?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passed 5-0. All right. E, Compensation Board funded bonus for sworn personnel in the Sheriff's Office. Ms. Rice.
Good evening, everybody. So 2 weeks ago, I brought forward some information about the amended state budget. What happened was there was a special session that took place in October, and the state budget was amended, and then Governor signed those changes into effect in November. And part of the amendment was that he was allocating funding to localities through the comp boards that would allow for a $500 one-time for sworn law enforcement deputies that are funded by the comp. So I'll go through that presentation again briefly this evening. And then tonight we have the motion for you to consider the options as they're presented. So what we talked about the last time, nothing has changed. It is still funding that has come from the state. It's a $500 per person bonus, and it's for sworn law enforcement that are listed with the comp board. We actually have 20 law enforcement officers listed with the comp board, and we have an additional 16 sworn law enforcement officers who are not listed with the comp board. We did not receive any funding for those folks to receive a bonus. The funding is to be used only in the form of a bonus. We cannot apply it towards a cost of living increase or anything of that nature. And we also need to make a decision on how we're going to proceed with that, because the directive was to issue the bonus this month, in the month of December.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing is this piece, the $500 bonus for those 20, this is a requirement. We don't really have any choice in the matter. Like I said, we're getting $10,765 in comp board funding, and we have to apply, give a bonus to those 20 comp board funded positions.
So we have to choose option 1, 2, 3, or 4.
Yeah, Ms. Rice, you can go,
yes.
On.
Yeah, so just really quick, option 1 was exactly as we're required to delegate those funds to the sworn officers with the comp board. And then option 2 would be if we had the ability and the board was so inclined to do so, to include the other 16 sworn law enforcement officers so that we don't have half the department receiving a bonus and the other half not. And then option 3 was to add in E911 staff and their one administrative person to make the department whole. And then, of course, option 4 would be if we had the ability to issue a bonus to all counties. On the next page, you'll see the breakdown of what that would cost for the county, and then some of the bullet points for discussion that we were discussing, and we're certainly able to discuss them further tonight as well.
It's really quick. I'll go through these bullet points here. The intent of this
This is actually part of the state's adopted budget for this fiscal year. They have frozen any funding for pay raises or bonuses back when they adopted the budget. That's like everyone not sure of the revenue and how COVID-19 would affect that. And so during their special session, they actually decided to move forward and fund some sort of, pay increase or bonus for the law enforcement staff. The part about the county FY21 adopted budget, that was just to show that it was similar to what we did. We actually held back on any bonus or cost of living increase other than the 1% until we could really get a good idea of what our revenue would look like. I can tell you that this year we have not any appreciation from that at all. We're not doing anything this month, and we also did not have health care this year.
I can't hardly hear.
And it was just.
Hey, Jessica,
you're having a hard time understanding you, Jessica.
You're getting a little muddled a little bit.
Okay, I think there's the internet is kind of in and out as well. And then currently, as the motion sheet will indicate, we actually have savings in just about every department right now. And that comes from either vacancy savings or the fact that we're not going out and going to conference training and doing any sort of travel or special programs or anything like that. And so
we have funding to fund any one of these options already in our current budget. It would be a one-time expense, and therefore it would not affect the interest rate for the personal property taxes going into next year at all. The funding is already in place. If you all decided that this was something you would want to consider for the staff.
Jessica, how much money do you think the county has saved by not having the county employee appreciation events or the other things that we would normally have done in a regular year?
Just off the top of my head, I know I still have $10,000 in my budget just for the employee appreciation events. And then I actually got together with Mr. Spitzer in Parks and Recreation, and we ran some numbers based on the fact that we did not have the summer camps this summer. We didn't hire the staffing, we didn't have the county fair, we didn't have all of those things. And just the two of us alone, we're almost able to come up with that $70,000 that's sitting there right now. And that's not counting any other department and any vacancy savings. The sheriff called this just this morning and said he has money in his budget to cover the rest of his, and that he wanted to make sure that you all were aware of that. And I told him I would pass that on to you as well.
So he, in his budget, he has enough to cover number three?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Are there any other questions or comments?
I guess it bothers me that just because the money left over, that gives you a green light to go ahead and spend on some of these. You have 20 to be compensated for on the comp board. And I guess I failed to understand why, how all this other stuff got thrown into it.
You're talking about, well, I mean, again.
Well, you ended up with $77,239. And I mean, boy, if a business operated like that.
Well, I can tell you how the first three got there. Or first one, we have to. I mean, we don't have a choice. That's at least
correct.
That we can do.
Nobody's
right,
disputing
right, that. Right, right, right. I'm not saying that, Mr. Weaver. But number two is, if we only do number one, 16 deputies go without, because it's kind of like the schools with the SOQ positions. They don't ever give us enough positions to actually fill the building. They only give us a certain percentage of those.
That's not our fault, though.
Well, I know it's not, sir, but I just, that's why the pink line is there, is to get the rest of the deputies, and then the green line is there to get the deputies in the E911. Just the people in that building. Now, the purple line is, if we do for one, we do for all, looking at doing for all. And that's where the purple line is from.
Like I said, Mr. Weaver, we're just trying to show you the information and give you the options, and however the board wants to go is how the board will go. And, you know, from you know, my standpoint, this was, you know, one, we have not been able to do many things for staff this year, and I'm not saying that there's others that couldn't, but I think, you know, there's been lots of things that we've had to put off and you know, just not move forward with for staff. And I think the staff has been working extremely hard, and they've been doing, with the CARES funds, it's put a tremendous amount of additional work on, from even the finance staff to everyone, from trying to push forward with a lot of these projects and initiatives. I think it's just a way to show staff appreciation, but that's just my standpoint.
Mr. O'Brien, do you have any thoughts? I'll just say this, in the very least, I'd like to do at least three.
No, that's kind of where I
think. Because Mr. Weaver knows what I'm going to say next, because I'm already going to talk about it.
What What did Mr. O'Brien say, Mr. Sheridan? I didn't hear him.
I said at least number three seems reasonable to me.
Now, I mean, I would like to do four.
But I would vote for number four.
Now, having said that, I'm going to be up front. I am going to talk later about 2% again. That was stuff we talked about last budget, but because we didn't know what was going to happen with the coronavirus, we pulled it all away, or pulled most of it away. We left 1% there. We had talked about and settled into the budget that we were going to do 3%, and then we reduced it to 1% because we were... So I am going to ask for that in a little bit.
You mean for next year's budget, not this year's?
No, ma'am, for this year's. Replacing what we pulled out in March is what I'm going to talk about. So I just wanted to make sure I was up front.
Let's do this first. Like I said, I just was saying that up front.
I mean...
Yeah, but let's do...
My opinion would be number four.
I'll vote for four.
But Miss Eagle,
so we've got three in.
Hold on, Miss Booker. Miss Eager,
I would vote for three or four, but only at four if we didn't give the 2% raise until the next July.
Yeah, I mean, to Miss Eager's point, I think if we're going to have that discussion, we may want to at least delay voting on this until we have that discussion. Anyways, just do that.
No, we got to make a decision on this tonight.
Well, the only thing you have to make a decision on tonight is number one.
We could do number three tonight and then come back and address the others if we wanted to.
Fair enough.
I mean, is that a possibility?
Sure.
Well, yeah, you could certainly do that. I mean,
Mr. Weaver, are you okay with doing that? Well, I mean, because like I said, I don't know if we want to talk about the other tonight or if we want to talk about the other in January. We talked about putting it off till January.
Like I said, from my standpoint, it just goes back to somewhat of an equity discussion. And, you know, I mean, if you want to bring the other piece in, like I said, number one's a requirement.
Right.
And you know, I think the sheriff's on the line, so he can certainly chime in for his department.
Sheriff Hess, would you like to have anything to say, sir?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
First of all, good evening, everyone, and especially Tony, so sorry for your loss, my friend.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
As far as the bonuses for everybody, I'm kind of torn because I knew that the deputies as well as dispatch, we have to come to work every day. But I can tell you there have been people in my office every day cleaning and taking care of things that have also taken care of stuff. So it's a tough decision, but I know there are multiple things on the table. So I have to first of all advocate for my folks. And that is an example of yesterday when we had the ice storm come through, and it was a seamless effort. And thank God for our volunteers and fire department and rescue who came out. And we took so many calls in an hour and a half, 2 hour period, and we took care of everything seamlessly. And that shows how well public safety works together in our county. And I can't say enough about how well that went. I was so impressed with everybody. So, and as well as the rest of the county, I mean, there is nobody in this county that I would not work with. So, that's, you know, I don't envy y'all to make the decision of what it takes to say who gets what. But I tell you, you have a wonderful staff in your county.
And Sheriff Hess touched on something. You know, his staff has. There's been a lot of staff that have been here. And like I said, this is not CARES related. This is just previous budget discussion and a change in the budget amendment, but a large majority of staff have been here a good portion of the time. So, like I said, without trying to pinpoint this one, that one, you do have a lot of staff that, just like all the public safety, they have been here day in and day out.
So my voting for number four, because I'm personally advocating for everyone, the sheriff and everyone. And I think that if we're not going to do other things that we usually do for staff, I think that this would be a wonderful gesture and a good morale booster, and showing them that we do appreciate, because it's been tough. And if every budget is saving money, then it's not putting us in a big bind. We have the funds.
All right.
So this is Jessica. If I could just say something for a second as the HR manager. We've had several groups of people who not only had to come into work every day, but also had to sanitize, disinfect, and take care of our facilities, ground, and all of those things, even when there was COVID in the building. I don't want to lose sight of that, and the fact that how much those people are appreciated. And those are also some folks that are not making the highest salaries in the county. And so I think that all the way around, there are people that really need to be recognized in all of the departments. And that's not, I'm just picking out a handful of people, but there is no one group or individual or team that should be considered to have done less for the county during this time period, I think. And that's just from me, from my heart, if y'all would just
entertain that. Thank you, Jessica.
All righty. So, do we have a motion for one of them?
Let's not let this opportunity, what happened? Am I still on? My screen.
Yes, ma'am, you're still on.
Let this opportunity pass.
So we, on this, well.
Let's do number four.
On the screen, we have two motions. We have motion number one, which is option one, the required piece. So that's the first motion on the screen. And then the next screen is motion number two, and it gives you the option to go 2, 3, 4, approve, deny, defer, whatever it may be.
So we have to do them separately?
Yes, I would. Okay. I would.
Do we have a motion for number one, since we have to do this one?
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve a supplemental appropriation of $10,765 to the Sheriff's Office FY21 full-time salary and FICA budget lines to cover a one-time $500 bonus for 20 compensation board-funded sworn law enforcement officers as required by the compensation board budget.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Eager. Ms. Booker?
Is this the clarification, please?
We have to do them separately.
Does that mean if we do motion one, that's what we're going to do?
Why do you have to do them?
I can vote again.
Ms. Booker, one we have to do, and that's why they said.
Let me provide some clarification really quick here. So, motion.
Yeah, I'm trying to get. Yeah, I know. I don't know why. Emotions. Yes. If that's what we have to do, yes.
Okay.
And then the other
motions
will come up. Okay.
Let me provide one quick clarification. This is a supplemental appropriation because we're getting additional funding in from the comp board. So the motion is worded a little bit differently.
I got it, Eric. Yep. I understand, Eric.
Okay.
I got it here.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Okay. I thought you said aye. I'm sorry. Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Now we'll move forward with 2, 3, and 4. Is there anyone who would like to make a motion for one of these?
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve option 4, a $500 one-time bonus for county staff as presented, and I think approve a number four, approve a $250 for all permanent part-time and $500 for all permanent full-time county employees at the county. At the cost of $77,239. I finally got the motion right. Thank you.
She made a motion on the last one, option 4?
Yes, sir.
You forgot to add with funding from departmental savings.
Yes.
Within the FY21 operation.
Do we have a second for that motion?
With funding.
Second.
All right.
What do you say?
He just said with funding that was left over from the departmental budgets, Ms. Zeger.
Okay. He's very hard to understand.
Yes, ma'am. When we got these masks on, and because we're all in here sitting 6 feet apart, that's why it's a little bit difficult for us to be understood at times. And so, besides, I speak Kingstonese.
So our reasoning is if we have money left over, it's all right to go ahead and give that money out at the end of the year. That makes it all right.
Well, I think the challenge is...
That's not the reason.
The challenge, the way I see it, is you have the ability to impact 80-some-odd employees for $16,000, which, certainly seems that's addressing the Sheriff's Department.
I'm not on the Sheriff's. We're on the last motion.
No, I know. I'm just saying that's impacting them, and that's obviously, in my opinion, a pretty... pretty easy thing to do, but in all fairness and with comments from everybody else saying about the challenges that everybody's faced this year and chipping in and going the extra mile, it would seem a little cold-hearted to just leave out the rest of the employees. So that's my thinking.
Well, the comp board has obviously brought this on.
Yes, sir.
And this has sort of spun off into something else. Certainly from 10,000 to 77,000, that's a pretty good spin.
Well, yes, sir. Does anybody else have a comment? We have a motion made.
Well,
Ms. Eager?
I have a comment.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I think because of this unusual year and the fact that it is Christmas, I'd like to make sure that we do it tonight rather than wait until January for the rest of the staff. I think it's this is okay with me. It just I'm not okay with changing the budget to 2% until July when we look at the whole budget.
Okay.
So I'll second it.
But okay. Well, we already had a second because we had a motion made by Mrs. Booker, seconded by Mr. O'Brien. And
she's welcome to second.
Ms. Booker. Your vote?
Aye.
Ms. Eager?
Aye.
My vote is aye on number 4.
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Weaver?
No.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 4-1.
And I did not mean
and to. I wasn't trying to open up a can of worms, but I wanted to be transparent that, like I said, and that's a discussion for a later date, but I will bring it back up and because we took it out of last year's budget.
Mr. Chair,
what's that have to do?
I promised last year that I would bring it up when we removed it. I promised last year in March when we took it out that if we had funds left over at the end of the year, I would bring it back up. I'd
hate to see a business run.
Yes, sir.
Some of the way it goes on in this county.
All right. Well. Let's move forward with F.
And Mr. Whiteside, I think that that's great for staff, and staff's been very much appreciated. They've been working really hard. Just one thing I just wanted to make mention of too, and Jessica's going to kill me for this, but so Ms. Rice has she's accepted a job at another locality, getting a good bump in title and responsibilities and stuff like that. So she let me know a few weeks back. So we're going to deeply miss having her here. And like I said, so that was her last presentation to the board. But like I said, I just want to thank her publicly for everything that she's done for the county. We are actively looking for a new HR manager.
I know a good candidate for that too.
What's that?
I say I may know somebody who's a good candidate, so I'll
It's open right now. We're starting interviews tomorrow. So,
Miss Rice, I want to thank you so much for your service to the county and wish you the best of luck, ma'am.
Absolutely.
Thank you all for everything, and
thank you for your service, Miss Rice.
I will miss it, but you'll see me around.
Oh yeah, it's Blue Banner. It's a small town. Yeah. I'll see you at E-Dubs.
Okay.
All right, we'll move forward with F, COVID-19 Municipal Utility Relief Program for FUSDI. Brian Estes.
Is he on?
Is he on?
Kelly? He's here. He's not unmuted yet.
Not yet, Brian. How about?
He's not unmuting himself.
Well, here, how about this? Brian, unmute, but I'll start. On December 7th, 2020, again, talking about, CARES Act and constantly changing, just literally a week ago, we received notification that the county received the COVID Municipal Utility Relief Program Grant Award for the Fork Union Sanitary District.
He's there now.
Oh, Brian, I'll let you finish it.
Good evening, members of the board. I would just like to take a moment to talk about the COVID grant. On December 7th, the county received notification of the grant. Since then, FUSDI has been awarded $6,358.07 to assist with utility customer relief for all eligible customers at FUSDI. The goal of the program is to assist customers experiencing economic hardship due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The utility and the county fiscal agent are required to certify that the U.S. Treasury guidance and other regulatory matters concerning these funds will be upheld. So that means the funds can't be used for late fees or connection fees. This is strictly for your water bill based on your usage. All applicants will certify all administrative expenses for the program's implementation and the direct relief provided to eligible customers averages for the time period of March 1st through December 30th. If we have any unspent funds, we have to send them back to the Department of Accounts by close of business Friday, January 29th, 2021. In addition, we must document and justify all of the funds that customers will be receiving. This means completing an application, and the application requires self-certification in order to be considered eligible for the relief. Any questions?
Yeah, so really, really short, we just...
How complicated is the application, Mr. Estes? That's going to take, and you said this has to be done by the end of December?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. It's a very easy application. It's essentially marking off the next boxes.
Good.
Yeah, to get ahead of things, before the board approved this, I mean, we really don't have a whole lot of time. So I already certified accepting the grant for the county to act as the fiscal agent. And what this does, the county's just passing money through to FUSDI, and we're just acting as the fiscal agent. But again, we had to get out letters to those customers that this would apply to. So we already got the letters out because we just need to move forward with it. We don't have a lot of time.
You're right. You're going to almost have to, if you don't hear from people who need this help, You almost have to call them up.
No, Ms. Booker and then Lindsay.
Home visit, I mean.
Yeah, Mr. Estes, he's been already doing that. We sent the letter out as just a formal process, but good. I know he's already been calling customers.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
good. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Estes. It's for much, but I know you have some people out there with some needs. Thank you.
Yeah.
And Ms. Booker, he would probably know whose water bill is late, so that would be a good start.
Yeah, we've already noted how many account how many account holders is it, Brian?
Yes, we already have a program for people who have gotten behind that gave a 12-month window to pay off your balance with no interest or anything like that. So we're going to start, first come, first serve. But, you know, it's a little bit, but hopefully it can help somebody.
It will. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Are there any other questions? Okay, hearing none, do we have a motion?
I move the Board of Supervisors ratify the County of Fluvanna.
Yes, I move the Board of Supervisors ratify the County of Fluvanna to act as fiscal agent in the distribution of the $6,358.07 CARES Act funds awarded from the Virginia Department of Housing and Community Development to assist with the COVID-19 Municipal Utility Relief Program for all eligible customers of the Falk Union Sanitary District.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Got a motion made by Ms. Booker and seconded by Mr. O'Brien. Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. We'll now move forward with consent agenda. Aye. Minutes of minutes of December 2nd, 2020, Ms. Solis. J, approval of open space contract for Jerry Goodson, Mr. Sheridan. K, CRMF, PW21-003, Carysbrook Gym 1, Ms. MacGyver. L, FCPS, Transportation CIP, Transfer of Funds, Ms. MacGyver. M, FY21, FCPS, Supplemental Appropriation Request, Board of Supervisors, Security Grant, Ms. MacGyver. N, AP Report, October 2021. O, AP Report, November 2021. Does anybody have anything they want to pull off the consent agenda?
N.
Okay. Yes, sir, Mr. Weaver.
Item 91.
Oh, I think you missed something on the minutes from.
All right, well, let's look at N first, ma'am.
Okay.
We'll come back to those minutes, Ms. Speaker.
Okay.
Bank of America, ADP Services, $959 credit, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I like it when he gives it.
Yeah, that's what I like. I want to know who's so nice.
It's IT.
IT.
Yeah.
It's IT. I'll have to check with IT.
He's on.
Is he on?
Yeah.
Andy?
Mr. Notman, can you answer that question for us? It's.
What's that? Sorry.
On October 16th, we got $959
what
back.
What question?
It's number 91 on N, on the Bank of America, ADP Services.
Oh, that was, the software that we use to be able to remote into computers. It's called Slashtop. I upgraded it, and when I did the upgrade, they refunded, because it just renewed, and then I upgraded to allow more computers, and they refunded the renewal and then charged for the upgrade.
Oh, so they gave us back, but then charged us more.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, exactly. Anything else? Mr.
Yes, item 566. It's the broadband.
Eric, that's your...
566, I can...
566, economic development, MOA for broadband extension, 130,000.
Yeah, that's the money that went to Central Virginia or Firefly.
Yeah,
that was probably their first payment for the broadband expansion going down 15 towards Fork Union.
Was that part of the $300,000+
It was 300 and some, but then we added, that might be the additional part.
Yeah, it was.
Because we added about 130,000 to it to go down towards Columbia. On Route 6 for weights, for about a month.
It was a total of about $500,000 is what the board approved.
It was 525, I think.
It was five, something around there, 525, and then...
525.
And it's paid
for
the CARES fund.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. It's to expand broadband.
Anything else?
No.
Ms. Eager, what was it you wanted to ask about? The minutes?
I have a question on number 277, who paid the forest warden for a fire. Where was the fire?
That's our annual, is it the 1400? That's our annual service charge to them.
Oh, okay.
The 9,000.
And another, that's what we paid.
That I noticed is,
it's past.
Is that we spend an awful lot of money on shredding. How often is that done? Monthly or quarterly?
No, this was the major shred when we had to move everything out of the basement when we thought we were going to renovate the basement. We took that opportunity to go back and unload all of the old stuff that should have been shredded years ago. So it was a one-time major shred.
Yeah, there was probably about 15 years of old moldy files down there that we had to purge and get rid of.
Well, I think there were 30 years of building.
Okay, yeah. It was $2,200 to shred all that.
Yes, it was a lot. It was, I don't remember how many pounds it was, but it was huge.
It took all day. Half the day, most of the day.
It took a long time.
And number 333 is a multi-purpose building design. What building is that?
Are you on October? I'm sorry, what line, Mrs. Eager?
Yeah, it's new multi-purpose building design, Crabtree Rohrbach Professional Services, $5,000. 666.
What line is it?
It is line number 333 on October.
333.
Was that the design when we were considering doing something at Pleasant Grove?
No, this is because we didn't do a design for Pleasant Grove. This would have been part of the design for the basement of the Abbott building. That was probably an initial payment.
Or the upgrade when we went back and asked them to change it a little bit with the doors and stuff.
Yeah, the only thing that Crabtree Rohrbach Associates is doing any design work or have been doing any design work on has either been the admin basement when we were looking at that, and then the burn building.
Okay, that's all I had. What I asked about was there's two sets of minutes in the packet.
Okay.
And we only mentioned one.
Okay, let me see here. It's not going to be here.
December 2nd. I thought there was two. Maybe I'm wrong.
We only did the minutes for the second, ma'am.
Okay.
We have two sets of minutes.
I thought I read two sets of minutes.
Yeah, I think it's two sets of minutes.
No,
okay.
Am I wrong?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It was an open space contract and then the minutes.
Okay.
Well, we can go look in the package unless there was accidentally two sets of minutes in the package. That's the only thing.
Let me look on this page because I'm looking at the other one. No.
You see any color?
No. The motion sheet of the minutes is all I see.
Yeah. Yeah, we only show the one set of minutes in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No,
not a problem.
Just give me a dollar for every mistake I'm making.
You ready for a motion yet?
Are there any other questions? If not, Mr. Weaver?
I move the accounts payable and payroll be ratified for October 2020 in the amount of $3,187,046.82, and also that the accounts payable and payroll be ratified for November 2020 in the amount of $1,677,970.14, along with the other items I through M.
All right, do I have a second?
Second.
All right, motion made by Mr. Weaver. I was worried for a second. Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Ms. Eager. Ms. Booker? Ms. Booker? Your vote?
Aye.
Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. We'll now move forward with unfinished business P. Local allocations for federal CARES coronavirus relief funds. Mr. Dahl?
So I'll start and I'll let Ms. Harris kind of take it a little bit here. So if you remember, we've got some CARES funding left that has been unallocated. Ms. Twisdale, we know how much, or Ms. McGuire?
Right around
$90,000 of CARES funds. So at this point, the board's taken kind of all formal actions on any CARES funds. So there's been kind of a need determined for some food bank shortages in our community. There has been an increased need of families due to the COVID-19 pandemic losing food. And Kelly, I'll let you kind of go and I'll chime in, because you've been taking most of the lead on this.
So it was brought to the county's attention by a couple of residents that the food pantry was really seeing an increased need of 5 to 6 more families per day than they had seen before COVID. And maybe more than that, but that was the average. The community has responded incredibly. Several very successful food drives organized by a couple of different organizations in the county. And E.W. Thomas, in they so well deserving of their business of the year, not just because of keeping that store open, but they take money from folks who want to donate direct folks who want to donate funds to MACA for the food bank. MACA can't process credit cards, but E.W. Thomas's can. So they have been the repository for $35,000 that was given this year by community members to go specifically for food for the MACA food bank. Those funds are running low, and their latest plea has not been met very well. It's Christmas, people are tired, and they have families they want to focus on right now. So I spoke with Ms. Bertha Armstrong and tried to understand what it is that they need. The thing that they need the most are perishables, but those are really hard to buy in bulk. So Mrs. Armstrong provided a list for me of foods that she can order tomorrow, and they're things that she would need, and it's a pretty good list, pretty hefty list. And it's actually the order for food link there, just to give you an idea of what she could order. And this would last her more than just 2 weeks, but it's things that she could order now, they could put away, and they would have. And then, depending on how things fall, she would find another source for the perishables. I also spoke with Beth Thomas to get an idea of what that order would cost, and it was actually much lower than I thought it would be. Except for fresh chickens and I think canned hams, that big list of 10 cases of everything on there is about $8,100. She said we could easily round it at 10 to account for the chickens and the hams as well. So for $10,000, Mrs. Armstrong would probably lay many blessings on us. The problem with the CARES fund for this was that the county does not have express authority. The state has not granted the county express authority to give the money directly to MACA. The county must purchase the food and not just give the money to MACA to purchase the food. And the purchase must be made by December 30th. So the proposed solution is that MACA, Mrs. Armstrong, places that order for food and E.W. Thomas's would bill the county directly. So we would get the receipt. We wouldn't have to worry about individuals trying to provide receipts to us. And Ms. McIver informed me today or yesterday, because the weeks all run together, that the order must be placed by December 30th, but the county has until the 15th of January to pay the bill. I don't think that's an issue, because I'm pretty sure Beth Thomas would have that back over to us as soon as that order was placed. But that's the problem, the obstacles, and the proposed solution.
And we went back and forth with Mr. Payne's office and Ms. Hoffman about, you know, what's a way we could do this? Is there some way to do it, whether we provide a restricted contribution or, and then after talking with Ms. Hoffman and, you know, looking at the guidance, it was deemed more appropriate for the county to buy the food directly, to be billed, because then there's a very direct trail of purchasing funds. MACA goes through and they determine the need, the food need for those families. So that's kind of what we were proposing. Now, the one thing I want to just kind of put into this conversation, so yes, we have about $90,000 left. Now, I don't want to say that there's not going to be an extension on the deadline to expend those funds. There's been discussions of that in many finance groups and others, but who knows, it may or may not happen. So we're in kind of this thing here. Well, you know, the county could provide some food orders to provide some meals to families during this difficult time, and whatever the amount is, I think we're still going to have funds left over at the end of the day. But it's entirely kind of up to the board. Like I said, we saw a need, and kind of looking at back to some of the CARES funding and talking with Fred's office, just trying to see if there's a way to do something.
Let's talk about this one first. I just had something pop in my head. I'm all in favor for using $10,000 to do this for MACA. I mean, if they could spend 15, it wouldn't bother me. I hate to say it that way.
Yeah, I think it's good.
I think Beth can find a way to, and she and Miss Armstrong together can find a way to fill that bill.
Let me also throw in that Ms. Armstrong said she could double that order to 20 cases, and it would not, there was nothing on that list that would go to waste.
That was my thought exactly, is, you know, if they doubled it, because those are non-perishables, and Beth's probably going to help keep some of it there if she needs to.
She said she's got four big freezers and she can fill them up.
Oh, Miss Armstrong does?
Miss Armstrong
did. Does she have storage? That much food?
She does. Yes,
she
ma'am.
She does. That's what Kelly just said, ma'am. Y'all couldn't hear her. She just said she has four big freezers and she has plenty of room to put this perishable. But I don't know if you and Miss Booker heard, but she said that Miss Armstrong informed her that we could double the orders. And what was it, 8,000 or something?
Around
10,000. That she could double it and put it all to good use if we doubled it to 20,000.
Yes. And
what we're doing?
Yes. I agree. Double it.
Are there other food banks in the county? I know some of the churches provide food.
What about Meals on Wheels?
Yeah, you're very good.
Trish, what would you think about Meals on Wheels?
If it can be done for them, I would be in favor of that.
Yeah, again, the county would, we would have to work directly with Meals on Wheels, because like I said, from talking with the county attorney's office, we would just have to find a way for the food to be purchased from us, purchased by the county, so it could be very clearly identified that the county was purchasing, and you know, maybe there's a way to push a bigger need for delivery, I don't know, but...
Well, and Ephraim Baptist does a food drive every Friday, too.
The Columbia Baptist does one?
It's just, you know...
Ephraim
does it. Columbia Baptist does it down there. I think Bobby, or Buell, I think, does one.
Yeah, the Rotary food drives have been huge.
So maybe we need to talk to some of these people.
The problem is we have to decide how to spend it tonight, I think.
We have to do it tonight.
Yes.
I certainly don't want to downplay the other organizations that are providing for those in the community. But we know that MACA has the need, and we have not heard from any of the other organizations that they have the need. And that's not to say they don't have a need. We've not heard from them to request help.
Could we direct them to contact MACA if need be?
You know, they all work the way that they work, and I don't know what those... I don't know what that
can
is.
Can we just allocate an amount to be given to some of those, to those organizations on request?
So
speaking with Ms. Twisdale, okay, so... What I kind of did in the motion here, and we could tweak it accordingly, but I put some language in here for an initial amount, and then further authorize the county administrator to provide additional funds not to exceed blank.
Not to exceed $90,000.
So if the board says whatever the amount is, if they want to allocate a certain amount this evening, then we could work in short notice to make sure that we reach out with the other organization.
Yeah, I think that would work.
Would $30,000 put us in a bind? I don't think that would put us in a bind.
Where else are we looking to spend tonight on that?
We have nothing.
But
there could be some random things coming in of things that have been purchased that we haven't accounted for, PPE down, you know, gloves, that kind of thing. I mean, it's not going to be significant, thousands and thousands of dollars.
Go 40 or 50.
So we could go 50 then, probably. Ms. Twisdale?
It's not to exceed, so then that leaves it in your office.
All right, Ms. MacGyver.
I wouldn't go any higher than that because, like Twisdale said, we do still have some expenses coming in for PPE and cleaning and some other things that we've allocated.
Yeah, we want to cover that.
We don't know exactly how much they are. I would hate to get to the point where, oh, shoot, we're overextended ourselves.
But you could, I could.
50.
If we get down to December, whatever the last working day is in the year, and we have $25,000 left over, that would allow Mr. Dahl to go ahead and use that with them. He doesn't have to use it if we put X amount of dollars in.
The board just has to approve a not to exceed amount in here for me.
Yeah, what do you
say? I mean, and that way you can hold off. And
so you can say not to exceed $90,000, but it doesn't mean you're going to spend $90,000.
Correct.
Well, and keep in mind, this food has to be purchased and in our hands,
right,
so to speak, by the 30th.
Right. So, I move the Board of Supervisors authorize funds to purchase food for individuals and families affected by COVID-19, including senior citizens and other vulnerable populations.
Let me
ask my one question before we do this. Because my one question was, and I'm sitting here thinking about how cold it's been, and we've had a very good cold spell for the month of December compared to what we've been the last 2 or 3 years. Could we do this to purchase firewood or something of that
remember
nature?
Let me look at one thing here.
I'm not trying to make us be here a long time, but That's the other thing. You think of the two things that families need right now. They need heat, they need food.
Fred, are you refereeing all this now?
Matt also handles funds for people that are facing evictions.
Heating bills. And stuff.
Well, that's what I was looking for. There was something about heating or electricity, but there's got to be a program.
Evictions, maybe? I don't know if they have that in there, too. Because there's definitely going to be more evictions.
Social service has heating programs. Social service has heating. And I know NACA has also done things with heating and wood.
What's that?
Dominion has a program.
Yeah. Oh, let's see. I know I saw something about an electricity program somewhere in one of the, I was reading something today.
Well, if we make the motion for,
you know, to make
food, heating, and evictions or whatever, that gives you guys the leeway to.
They have
family funding.
There are programs already in place for rent, mortgage, electricity. Dominion gives Ms. Armstrong thousands of dollars. So are we going to go away from food and try to include other things?
Mr. Chairman, I'm
that's what I'm trying to figure out. Well,
I just brought this up.
I'm concerned about this because this is a very strictly controlled program that has no antecedent. So we really don't know what we can do and what we can't do.
Okay.
What we've got established
that's why I asked.
Is to donate the food. And we know we're confident we can do that.
So,
but I wouldn't go beyond
yes.
that.
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll just stick with the food for right now.
That's what I would suggest.
No.
All right. All right. Do we have a motion?
If we're going to look at other organizations, excuse me. And if we're going to, I heard you say that there were other places that give out food other than NACA. So if we're going to look at other organizations, then the motion is saying Fluvanna Food Bank. Is that what it's saying?
Well,
I think it is good to reach out because some people are more comfortable going to that church to get food than going to Mecca.
There's a second
amendment. There are other people. They will go to Antioch. They will go.
Mr. Dahl's got a solution to that.
Right. There's a second part of the amendment or the motion that allows him some freedom to work with other groups.
Correct. Well, and it basically boils down to, I mean,
yeah.
We can take out the food bank and you can just kind of leave it open-ended. And if you want to put an additional amount in there, but a not-to-exceed amount.
And why don't we just make it so that two board members basically sign off on whatever you guys are doing. That way, you know, I'm giving them discretion, but if other members have concern or if Fred has concerns about oversight or anything like that.
I think that's not a good idea because board members have no authority in themselves. Only the board has.
No.
As a group.
Yes.
Right. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes.
All right. We'll wait.
Let's.
All right.
Where's the motion?
Hold on. 1 second here. I'm trying to.
Get feisty.
I'm telling you.
So what I would probably do where it says to enable Fluvanna Food Bank to serve Fluvanna residents, maybe I would say something to the effect of to enable Fluvanna Food Bank or food providing organizations. I'm not sure.
You can.
But it has to be limited to food still. Is that what you found?
Yes.
Okay.
And just population to to serve the Fluvanna residents.
Or any other organization serving Fluvanna residents?
Including senior...
Could that be done?
Including senior citizens of the vulnerable population to serve...
Let's have...
Utilizing CARE Act funds.
Let's have one at a time. I think what Mr. Dahl is saying...
Hold on, Ms. Booker. Ms. Booker, hang on a second.
Try this. I move the Board of Supervisors authorize funds to purchase food for individuals and families affected by COVID-19, including senior citizens and other vulnerable populations, to enable nonprofit organizations providing food to Fluvanna residents, utilizing CARES fund and CARES Act funding in an initial amount of $10,000. And further authorize the county administrator to provide additional funds not to exceed $50,000.
Whichever. No, whatever. You got that, Mr.
Do you consider the church as nonprofit?
Yes. Although I think it would be, I think you would be better off steering away from the churches because of that. You remember, there's a statute that prohibits the counties from donating money to sectarian organizations.
Meals on Wheels would be fine. So that means that the churches that are serving food are not included in this motion. Antioch Church, Falk Union, Be the Dam, they are not included.
What I'm saying is, I think it's questionable whether you can donate directly to them. Now, if Meals on Wheels, for example, work with the churches, that'd be perfectly appropriate.
Or maybe the churches should work and reach out to MACA, because MACA seems to have a program in place for determining the need, and...
Yeah, food will get out.
I don't know.
They'll get it.
I mean, like I said, this is, you know, there's a lot of work to do to get this done in a short time, and we are up for the challenge, and we'll do it.
If we don't know what the amount is going to be that is, you know, left over for other PPE expenses, it would be a shame to limit this to $50,000 if we're saying not to exceed. You guys will spend the money as you see fit based on those other expenses.
That's your recommendation from Ms. McGuire.
Well, right,
but I mean, she was saying there was more to come.
To hold $40,000.
The way the motion reads, it doesn't really matter because we're not going to meet again unless we decide we're having an emergency.
Well, no, you don't have to approve. Well, I think what Mr. O'Brien's saying, you could say $10,000 initial, $80,000, and then I'm constantly in contact with finance and
let these guys spend it where it needs to be spent.
You can do that if you want.
We can. Okay, so let's do that.
All right, Mr. O'Brien, you want to go ahead and try to remember all that?
Sure, unless Ms. Booker wants to do it. Sorry. I move the Board of Supervisors authorize funds to purchase food for individuals and families affected by COVID-19, including senior citizens and other vulnerable populations, to enable Fluvanna nonprofit organizations in Fluvanna that serve the Fluvanna residents utilizing CARES Act funding, an initial amount of $10,000, and further authorize the county administrator to provide additional funds not to exceed $80,000.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, got a motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Weaver. Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Ms. Steger?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. All right, and that's the only thing I was talking about, was something with the heating or something of that nature. I thought about that when we're talking about food. Absolutely. But is there any other unfinished business?
No, I just wanted to provide one quick update. I know the board had asked about the comments from Mr. Thomas Pace.
Yes.
Regarding the firearms near his subdivision. I reached out to Major Wells, Sheriff Hess, about that. They gave me the documentation regarding what occurred. You know, really for Fluvanna to do anything further, It was the information was passed on to, what's it, the Department of...
Mr. Heffley.
Sorry, I was reading it before and I forgot what it was. I think it was the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries, probably.
That's Mr. Heffley.
Yeah.
The Game Board.
Yeah. Department of Wildlife Resources.
Thank you, yes. That's what it is. And so really, for the county to do anything further, you know, the county would have to put forward some different ordinances for firearm restrictions locally. That's really what would have to happen. Obviously, if someone was doing something that was unlawful, you know, that falls onto the sheriff's office. And then, sorry, what was it again, Fred?
The DWR.
Yeah, DWR.
Department of Wildlife Resources.
Yes. So that's kind of where it is, yes. But we can't do anything further necessarily unless there's
several other things that he talked about already exist as laws, like this not shooting from the roadway and being out of the, what is it, Fred, the ditch banks. You got to be off the ditch banks to shoot.
The
guy's just breaking the law, and unless somebody's sitting there watching him, you're not going to catch him.
Yeah, some of those things are already in place. You know, some of the things he talked about, unlawful for a person to engage in hunting with a firearm or discharge a firearm within 100 yards of a dwelling, house, or occupied building. Discharge of firearms is prohibited within 100 yards of public park, school. Hunt with firearms from the road and within 20 feet of a ditch bank. Unlawful to transport or carry a loaded rifle or shotgun in any vehicle on road, public street, or highway. And it is unlawful to carry loaded firearms on or alongside public streets and roads. You know, some of these things are already in place. So, I mean, unless the board wants us to look further into this.
Well, we still have the same problem enforcing any ordinance that we put forth.
Right.
Where this boils down to enforcement, and, you know, we don't have an ability to enforce these ordinances.
And unfortunately, the DWR has 4 game wardens that work the counties of Albemarle, Powhatan, Cumberland, and Fluvanna, and probably have, 2 to 3 of them, maybe?
You have enough work for them in Albemarle.
I was cutting trees yesterday with Mr. Heverling, and Mr. Heverling said he had 8 calls, and one of them, he was in Powhatan and got called to the farthest northwest corner of Albemarle. Yeah, 2-hour drive.
The game wardens are notorious.
Yes.
Is the sheriff's office not able to respond to those calls?
Yes, they can.
Yeah, and Sheriff, I'm not sure if Sheriff House or Major Wells, you're still on.
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay.
Can you hear me? Can you comment?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely, yes. We can enforce the same laws as our game and inland fisheries. We, you know, it's just a matter of educating our deputies on some of the newer things, but we absolutely can do that. And actually, when I worked in Albemarle County, the county of Albemarle gave extra money to the sheriff's office to perform duties as a game and inland fisheries person in Albemarle County. So it was kind of like to supplement the daily activities. But the, you know, updating some of the ordinances would be very effective for our county, I believe.
Would be very, I'm sorry, very what?
You said effective, I think.
Effective,
I'm sorry. Yeah, my internet's not real good here, I'm sorry.
So you have some ordinances that you would recommend we should consider then?
Well, you know, Mr. O'Brien, I kind of, as a sheriff, I kind of like, I don't think it's really good to say we need to do this. You know, I think that's up to the board to say that our constituents in our county are asking for this. You know, it's kind of like sheriff shouldn't make the laws. We're here to enforce whatever people say we need to enforce.
So maybe it makes sense for us to evaluate what other counties do in terms of ordinances.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, sir.
I know I was... go on, Sheriff. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Absolutely. If you look at other ordinances and follow them, if you think that's appropriate for our county, whatever you all
you know, say that that's fair for our county, we'll absolutely enforce it.
But let me just say one thing about this. This kind of ordinance can be extremely controversial. And I just know from my personal experience that Buckingham County had an ordinance on hunting with rifles. And it was, and I know this because I was part of the ambiguity, there was an ambiguity in that ordinance for many years that people didn't even know was there. And the Board of Supervisors tried to address it and had lengthy and quite rowdy public hearings from the people that wanted the restriction and people that didn't want the restriction. It was very emotional, it took a lot of time, and they ended up with an ordinance that, frankly, I have difficulty understanding what it meant. And so I wouldn't do this lightly. You know, if you want to report on what you can do, we can always prepare such a report. Whether you should do any of those particular things is another question. When I was working in Albemarle many years ago, they adopted an ordinance that prohibits carrying loaded firearms on the public highways. The idea was, I'm hunting on property A, and I've also got a permit on property B, so I'll just walk down the public road between the two. And the Board of Supervisors thought that was a bad idea, and that ordinance was adopted. Now, if you want to see what people have done with a lot of this stuff, primarily dealing with hunting, the Department of Wildlife Resources publishes every year a table of local firearms ordinances. And they don't do it at length, but they tell you what the substance of it is. That's readily available on DWR's website if you want to see that.
I think those points are all fair. I'm just struck by the, you know, sort of comment that you know, maybe our ordinances need a review. That's all. With regard to gun laws,
I respect the sheriff's view that the sheriff shouldn't be making the laws.
Absolutely.
But I think the sheriff could provide valuable input if you wanted to know what the problems are.
Right.
No. Absolutely. We would provide you with any information that you would desire, and. Mr. Payne is absolutely correct. There is a fine line, you know, between the two. We are in a community where we have very rural areas and we have communities where there are subdivisions. And it's a fine line. People see things differently, and it's hard to interpret, you know, one person's point of view from another's. So those are very fine lines that, you know, law enforcement needs to stay out of. And you know, I hate to say I'm passing the buck, but it's one of those things that, you know, we can't dictate what the law should be.
Let me just say in one sentence, if you want to see a firestorm, just propose an ordinance outlawing hunting deer with rifles. That will cause more of a fire.
I'm not recommending anything like that. I'm just saying it just seems to, again, that based on the comment that maybe a review would be appropriate, since I don't really know how our gun ordinances are lacking, you know. So that's,
we might right. be stirring up things, too.
Well, Mr. O'Brien, if everybody had common sense, it wouldn't be an issue, but unfortunately not everybody does. So it's one of those things that, you know, you have avid hunters, you have people that are moving into the community that are not used to living in rural areas where firearms are discharged. So those calls for service increase. We saw the same thing in Albemarle County 15 years ago. So it's a fine line, and once again, it's a tough decision to make.
I totally understand that, and I mentioned previously that enforcement's a challenge, even in those situations. So, you know, I totally get that, but and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, because you've said that, that there was perhaps a need to review some ordinances there. I just took that comment and said this maybe makes sense for us to do. So I'm just one vote, but that's.
If the board wants to have a report on the scope of
yeah, I'm
what's
not suggesting we go beyond that necessarily.
I think I can probably do that. I'd like to talk, you know, I'd like to have the sheriff on board with what I'm talking about. We can do that.
Well, I agree, Mr. Payne. I think this is a discussion that maybe we should have a group discussion about, you know, what the needs are. We can provide any data from calls or service that we have. We have an awesome CAD system you all have provided us with. Any data you need, and we can give you the facts related to calls for service, and then the board can make decisions as to what they think they need to do for Duluth Vanna County.
Seems like a reasonable thing to me. Do we need a motion or just head nods on that?
No, I think if the board as a whole wants staff and the county attorney's office to look into some of this, I think that's probably the extent of it.
Got my head nod. Is anybody else?
Anybody else interested in doing that?
Yes.
I'm not.
Yes, I think we should.
I'm not either.
Ms. Eager?
I'm not sure. It's not sure what you're talking about, other than changing our laws.
Just looking at our ordinances and things. The sheriff had mentioned that,
you know, our ordinances might be out of date in relationship with other localities in the area, with regard to gun ordinances. And so, you know, I'm suggesting that we at least review that. Whether we change anything or not is to be made. Well, Mr. Payne and I think the sheriff had said was, yes, that's probably a worthwhile exercise. It doesn't mean we're changing an ordinance. It's just they suggested that's maybe a worthwhile exercise. Because I don't know. I don't know where they're lacking. I have no idea. I'm not a gun owner, and so I don't know what the ordinances are or are not.
In my personal experience, people have expectations that are unrealistic. And one thing that I have heard many times over the years, people saying, my God, the guy next door is always shooting off guns. And he may very well be. And in one case, I know there was a rather prominent lawyer in Charlottesville that lived in Duluth Vanna County that objected to her neighbor who had set up a shooting range, private shooting range, on his 10-acre parcel next to her 10-acre parcel. And there was no allegation that he was doing anything unlawful or dangerous. He had a shooting range and was shooting into a berm. And so when she came to me to complain about it, my answer was there's nothing illegal about this and nothing unsafe. And she moved back to Elmont.
Well, Mr. Payne, my husband had to take out a possum tonight.
That happens sometimes in the county.
It does. You know, I lost all my chicken varmints, and so we had to do something about it. They came up to the back porch.
Sometimes it's a fox, and sometimes it's a coyote, sometimes it's a possum.
So I guess. Yeah. Ms. Seeger, the question's still there whether you want the sheriff and Mr. Payne to review this or not.
Mr. Payne, is this what you think we should do?
Personally, I don't see it as a significant problem. But if the board wants information on it, we can provide.
Mr. Hatch.
And Ms. Seeger, I agree with Mr. Payne. I mean, it's something that was brought to the board's attention as a concern from a citizen in the community.
Yes.
And as the sheriff's office, if you ask us to address that, we're going to do, you know, whatever you ask us to do, and we'll work with Mr. Payne or whoever to address those issues, but I will defer back to the fact that, you know, sheriff's offices throughout the state are not here to make laws, we're here to enforce them. But we'll provide any information, anything that anybody needs to decide what they need to do to better serve their community.
Okay.
So do you want to take a look at it or let them look at it, Ms. Eager, or no?
Yes. I mean, it doesn't mean we're going to change anything, okay. But it would be very educational.
I agree, Ms. Eager. That would be educational for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Well, what I understand the board is talking about is regulations of firearms that apply in the county, which would include county ordinances, but also state law. Because most of this right. is governed by state law.
Correct. And that's the point I was trying to make. Many, mm-hmm. many of the things they brought forward in that letter,
you and the
aren't covered by state
law. No, I agree. And I understand that. I'm just, you know.
And would you want to compare them to any other localities? What they may have?
What the chair has pointed out was that there are other localities that are doing other things. So that's. So, yeah, I would say so. I would defer to Mr. Penn and the sheriff having a discussion about how they should approach that. So we're able to do that.
All right. And you can look so specifically at some of the things that Mr. Pace brought up. I think there were five things that he brought up specifically. I know that several of them are covered in state code.
Right. I'll forward you the email with this concern and we'll address it.
And I'll talk to you.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank y'all. All right, is there anything else? What's that?
Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Anything else? Is there any new business? Hearing none, I will now open the second round of public comments. Anyone wishing to address the board, please state your name, address, keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and directed to the board. Is there anyone wishing to speak at this time?
No.
Okay, seeing none, I will now close the second round of public comment. And believe it or not, I don't believe we have a closed session.
We do not.
So do we have a motion to adjourn?
Somebody.
I was going to say somebody say something. Do we have a second? Do we have a second?
Second.
We got a motion made by Mr. Weaver, second by Mr. O'Brien. Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. We are adjourned.
So